BulaNetwork.com, episode 108. Well, we had our first freeze last night, DFW area. Well, I'm in what we affectionately call the mid-cities, so I'm technically between Dallas and Fort Worth, and we had our first freeze last night. Had to bring the plants in. My wife's got these tomato plants. She's a fool for tomatoes. And she's got about half a dozen, and they're big. I mean, these are big plants. We had to put them in their own individual kind of pots because we have a lot of trees. She just couldn't get anything to grow. She couldn't get anything in enough sunlight. So we're out there with these kind of blankets and things covering these things at like 10:30 last night. Got down to 32. Now west of us, it got down to like 27. Yeah, buddy. Fall is here. So we had our first freeze last night. Hey, by the way, today is Friday, November the 4th. 2011. So we had our first freeze last night, and then tomorrow night, actually in the wee hours of Sunday morning, November the 6th, fall back. That means we gain an hour. Yeah, that's terrific. We gain an hour, we turn our clocks back. So it's all good. Hey, my name is Randy Cantrell. Again, the city of origin is Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. This is BulaNetwork.com, and I'm coming to you from the Yellow Studio. We're going to dive into the show next. A lot of people give the advice, dream big. You know, you need to think bigger. You're not thinking big enough. And it had been a long time in my career before I was really given that advice. I had always considered myself a guy who dreamed pretty big dreams. I wasn't crazy. I'm very realistic. I'm not real prone to fantasizing about some grandiose thing. I feel like I kind of take an assessment of my opportunities and my abilities. And I admittedly want to stretch, no question. I want to have to kind of strain a little bit to reach the goal. And I freely admit I'm really never quite satisfied. But it came as a bit of a surprise when someone who had experienced much greater financial success, and we'll just leave it at that, said, you need to think bigger. And I stepped back and I thought about it. And I understood the admonition. I mean, he had been traversing some financial ground that I'd never set foot on. That was for sure. You know, I wasn't accustomed to I wasn't accustomed to personal income, you know, in millions and millions of dollars, but I was never drawn to that. I just, for whatever reason, I was never drawn to that. My son and I were having an email conversation just recently about someone that we know, and discussing the income of this person, and it's millions and millions of dollars. And you know, if you know somebody in that situation, you might be given to jealousy. You might be given to envy. You might be given to trying to insert yourself in their life and think about, man, wouldn't that be great? You're listening to a guy who just has never thought that. I've rather thought the opposite. I've rather thought, you know, there is some amount that would be very uncomfortable for me. It would be too much. And as much as I may think, well, I'm smart enough and I'm wise enough and I could handle it, I don't know that that's the real issue for me. The real issue for me is other people. The real issue is, let's assume that I could, and we don't know that. I mean, come on, it's just like any other, until you're thrown in the situation, you really don't know for sure what you would do. You think you know. But let's assume that I'm right. Let's assume that I've now got the maturity and the wisdom that I could handle millions and millions of dollars in personal income every year. But then you think about, well, what about your kids? What about your family? What about, and we've all seen enough documentaries and things on people who get sudden wealth. And I don't know that there's a lot of difference, by the way. Well, there are. There's some differences, subtle differences in sudden wealth versus somebody who progressively, you know, they get to a point where they're earning more and more and more and more. But you can't control all the people who know you. You can't control family. You can't control your kids. You can't control people that you might go to church with or anything else, and how they look at you and in what they expect of you. I remember having a conversation with a very rich guy years and years ago when my kids were little, and he happened to have younger kids. And I looked him straight in the face and said, I'm glad to not be in your financial situation, because my kids know that they're going to have to make their own way. My kids know that I'm not in a financial position. I'm in a financial position to help them along. I'm in a financial position to provide some opportunities for them, for instance, education and other things, but they're not trust fund babies. They're having to make their own way in the world. And no matter how much money I have, I don't know that I'd want that to be any different. Now, he's not in that situation. And this was a conversation that happened 20 years ago. And he said to me then, you know, my kids will never have to work. My grandkids won't have to work. That just seems sad to me. But what does that have to do with today's topic? And by the way, what is today's topic, you ask? Today's topic is the whole paradox of thinking big but thinking small, of going slow but going fast. Let me explain. Because I think this is a powerful thing, and I think people get hung up in the wrong approach. A lot of people have great ideas, or they think they have a great idea. And great ideas, as we all know, they're a dime a dozen. Well, they're frankly cheaper than that, because most ideas don't get acted upon. Most ideas, even if they get written down on a piece of paper, that's where they stay. Nobody does anything. And many of us, we laugh when people approach us and say, we've got some great idea and we'd love to talk with you about it. But before we do, hey, here's an NDA, here's a non-disclosure agreement we'd like you to sign. And, And more often than not, in my experience, the idea that they thought was brilliant, I look at it and I think, I can't even believe that you're willing to speak of this out loud. I mean, it's just a ridiculous idea. I could be wrong. I don't know any of those people, by the way. I don't know any of those people who took any action, by the way. I'm not saying they didn't, but I just don't happen to. I don't happen to know anybody that went around with a non-disclosure agreement who did anything with it, other than get the non-disclosure agreement. And in some of those cases, grand plans. I mean, thinking big. Gonna take over the world. I was listening to a radio interview the other day with a fella, and he had these grand plans, and he was gonna go do this and do that, and his idea, he was going to franchise this thing, and it was going to be all over the world. And I kept thinking, yeah, it's great. I mean, think big, go for it. But I was left wondering, what's he doing right close to home? I don't know he's doing anything. He may be, but that didn't come out in this interview. And there's the rub. People who just, there's a lot of conversation about this whole perfectionism thing. You know, well, we're not ready to launch because we got to get everything just right. You know, the website, it doesn't look quite the way we want it to look. And we really want to tweak our graphics, and we want to do this, and we got to get that done. We got to get this other done. So we have that on one hand. And then on the other hand, we have this grandiose, gonna do things, and boy, we're gonna do them in a big way. And I just for whatever reason this week, I just kind of got tired head thinking about all of the stories that I'm hearing of people who, you know, there's a meaningful step that you could be taking right now. No, it wouldn't be perfect. I mean, just take a step. Who cares? You often see it. You see it, especially Hollywood. You see it with actors and stuff. And you see their early stuff. You know, somebody will be on a talk show or something, and Letterman or somebody, and they'll go dredge up. And it used to happen. I remember pretty frequently with the Johnny Carson show. I'm old enough to remember that. Big star comes on, and you know, Johnny digs up some commercial that they did very, very early in their career. And of course, it's just kind of humorous, and we all kind of laugh because that's not the context that we see them in. Or they'll show a clip of some, you know, the very first movie they might have been in, which was some title that we've never heard of, and none of us have ever seen it. And they were just dreadful, you know, and everybody has a good laugh about it. And here they are now sitting next to Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show, or one of today's talk show hosts. And they're the cat's meow in Hollywood. I mean, they're a big shot. Well, they weren't always a big shot. I mean, there was a time when they were a minuscule shot. And they were just, as Sir Ken says, they were just giving it a go. And they made it. But they had to be willing to do bad work in order to get to the point where they could do good work. And I think too many people get hung up in the think big and let's go big, go big or go home. I've even got a t-shirt to that effect. No, I'm not wearing it right now. I will be wearing it later, by the way, when I go to the gym. And as much as we all appreciate that sentiment, and as much as we all want to incorporate that kind of a philosophy in our life, the fact remains that it is absolutely fundamentally true that the journey of 1,000 miles does begin with a single step. You do have to take some small action. You can't conquer the world today, but you can take the first step on the 1,000-mile journey today, and you can start moving in the right direction today. There's an awful lot of people I'm encountering that are just having a real problem getting motivated to do that, evidently. I mean, they just don't have enough energy to do that. And I don't know, my posture is, if you don't have enough energy to take a single step, you don't have energy for the 1,000-mile trek. I mean, how is that possible? It's not. I'm sitting here, and on my desktop, my computer desktop, before me is a 27-inch iMac, and my wallpaper is a photograph taken from the center line of a highway, a yellow line, the center of a highway in Banff, Canada, the Canadian Rockies. And dead ahead, and the road is a little bit windy, but dead ahead on the horizon is this huge mountain structure. And along either side of the road are these evergreen trees, and it's just beautiful. The sky's cloudy. But from where this photograph is taken and from where I sit, and it's as though I'm sitting on the pavement on this nice, smooth, black asphalt with a bright yellow line down the middle. There's some distance to this mountain. I don't know how far away it is. I can't judge those kinds of things. But there's a bend in the road down the way. Now, I can picture myself being there because that's how great this photograph is. And I can sit here in the middle of this road, this highway, this two-lane highway, and it's beautiful. But I could think, you know, I really want to get up on that mountain. Well, I don't know what the distance is, but I know that I'm going to have to, I got to get up and I got to move. Otherwise, I can just sit here and look longingly at this mountain all day long, and I'm not going to get there. And you can sit there looking longingly at all the great things that you would hope to accomplish in your career, in your life, in your business, doesn't matter. All the great things that you would do, that you could do, maybe even that you should do. But until you start moving forward, you're not going to get them done. Listen, I know everybody wants to be a rock star. I know everybody wants to be popular. I know everybody, you know, everybody wants fame. Everybody wants more readers. Everybody wants more subscribers. Everybody wants more attention. And can I tell you a secret? Can I tell you what I want? There's two things that I want, and they are closely tethered together. And I don't mind telling you what they are, and I'm not bashful, and I'm not ashamed of the two things that I want when it comes to business, making money, and a career. Two things. You ready? Money and freedom. And I don't make any excuses, and I'm not bashful, and I'm not ashamed, and money and freedom. Now, chase passions all you want. Hooray for you. I like this stuff. I like the new media stuff. I like talking with people. So this whole new media thing kind of suits me. I like getting up in front of people. I'm a verbal communicator. I do like to write. Increasingly, I find myself more liking this than that. But business strategy and all the things that incorporate business, I'm rather fond of. I'm rather good at. I've got a lifetime of having done them, but I don't get up in the morning with some, you know, driving passion to, I don't know, pick something, you know, Bill sell boats. Now, you may. That's fine. For me, there are things that I want to do primarily that involve those two elements, though, money and freedom. And you know what? It's hard to have one without the other. So there you have it. Now, you can critique that all you want. You can throw rocks at me. And that's fine. I don't care. Because it's my life. You get to set the goals for your own. Those happen to be mine. I know this. Even if your passion is to build sailboats, you're never going to be in the boat, sailing the boat that you built, unless you start. And do you have to start out building some multi-million-dollar sailboat? No. Why should anybody be ashamed with a small start? That really is kind of the point here. And that really is kind of the bottom line. Don't be ashamed of the small start. Don't be ashamed to just get it out there and start doing it. I had no idea when I began this whole quest of podcasting. I have told the story. I won't bore you with it here. The Yellow Studio did not come about in order to podcast, but that's what it has become. It has become a podcasting studio. I don't know what else it will become. It's a vehicle. It's a means to an end. It is not necessarily the end in and of itself. And it started with a step. It started with a quest. There were some things church-wise that I wanted to do. There were some other things that were completely out of the public domain that I wanted to do. It started with a microphone, and here we are. Here we are. All you got to do is go back to the episode. You know, I don't know. It was titled "A Little Engine That Could" or something. I mean, it's over on the right-hand side. There's links to it. If you want to dive into the nuances and the technology of the Yellow Studio, it's there. It didn't start out that way. It started out with a microphone. A microphone. That was it. I mean, that really was it. It was a microphone. It was a cheap mixer. And here we are. Now, have I arrived? Well, of course not. Of course not. The world hasn't heard of me. Do I care? No. No. You didn't hear me say fame was one of the things I'm chasing. I'm not chasing fame. You didn't hear popularity. I'm not chasing popularity. I'm chasing freedom and money. And not necessarily in that order. Because frankly, I think the order's probably reversed. It's probably money and freedom. Oh, that sounds so greedy. Well, I don't care. It's not greedy at all. I want to earn what I'm worth. I think you ought to want to earn what you're worth. And in order to do that, you got to get off your butt and you got to take a step and you got to take another step. Who cares if it's the absolute perfect step? Who cares if it's even absolutely in the ideal direction? You can course correct. None of this is permanent. I mean, if you think it's permanent, well, I got news for you. I'm sitting here staring at a ton of books written by people that you've never heard of and you'll never hear of again. They wrote a book, they got some traction, but guess what happened? Well, somebody else wrote a newer book and somebody else got a little bit more traction. Some of these people, they wrote one book. Done. Some of them wrote one book, made a career out of one book. You might not have heard of them, but they've carved out a nice little niche for themselves. Others, well, I've got some books written by the same person. I've got some bookshelves, and the shelves are dominated by a single author who keeps writing and keeps writing and keeps writing. Which way's right? Whichever one worked for these people. Depends on what you want. What do you want? Okay, let's wrap it up here. That really is the question, and you do know that, don't you? What do you really want? You got to decide what you want, and you got to go for what you want. You don't have to go big or go home. Those aren't the two choices. You can go big if you want, but you could also go small. If today I had my choice of being a one-man kind of a band with a little bit of, you know, virtual help as I need it, making a good living, able to be in command more often than not of my schedule, put a fork in me, I'm done. I mean, that's just, what more do you want? Well, me, not much more, to be honest. Because then I could go do what I want to do when I want to do it. I can help who I want to help when I want to help. I can dive into projects when I want to dive into So that's me. Now, I know other people, they want to build some big honking business, because their goal is to either go public or be acquired. They are looking for a major league payday. They're looking to gain millions and millions of dollars in one shot. And they are willing to work 120-hour weeks from now on until they can make that happen. That just doesn't float my boat. If it floats your boat, build that boat and float it. But it doesn't me. So this is very individualized, and that's point number one. Decide what you want. Shut out all the noise, shut out all the clutter, shut out all the things that everybody's telling you that you ought to want and that you ought to chase, and you chase what you want to chase. Just, it is proverbially true. Be careful what you wish for, because you might get it. Oh, you want a bunch of Twitter followers. You want a bunch of Facebook likes. You want fame. You want popularity. That's great. That's wonderful. I don't, but if you do, go for that. Point number two, the 1,000-mile trek does begin with a single step. And if you are unwilling to take that first step, if you're unwilling to be the actor who takes the crummy first movie gig, and it's got a few lines and they're cheesy at best, or you have to do some cheese ball commercial for some local car dealer, so what? Get started. I mean, you think anybody's keeping score? The Hollywood actor making millions and millions of dollars sees those clips and they laugh because they understand that in order to be sitting next to Johnny, sitting next to Dave, sitting next to Jay, sitting next to Conan, they know they couldn't be sitting there had they not done that first. So all of these grandiose startup guys out here and gals who think, you know, well, I've got a great plan and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Well, what are you doing right now? Oh, well, you know, we hadn't got started yet, but this is what we're planning. You know, I personally just don't get that at all. I don't understand it. So why aren't you doing it on a smaller scale and then trying to grow and develop this thing? Because the things that you're going to learn from start to small are going to be infinitely more powerful than you just trying to launch in some big honking massive fashion. But again, let me express my bias. Venture capital, going public, being acquired, none of those things have any interest for me. None. I, early in my career, I was involved with a company that went public. Don't. I've been there. Don't want to go through it again. Wouldn't. Mergers, acquisitions, been through some of those. No, no thanks. Not interested. A lot of employees, a lot of assets, a lot of brick and mortar. Been there, done that. Don't want to do it again. So that's me. And I'm not expressing anything for you, and I'm not going to throw rocks at you if you say, my goal is to build a company that can go public. My goal is to build a company that Google would want to acquire. That's great. I would say chase it. Go for it. I would just say take the step. Take the step. Take the first step. Take the second step, because the journey is going to be 1,000 miles. So you better start stepping. And don't talk yourself out of stepping, as so many people seem to do these days. And there you have it. BulaNetwork.com is now a new media company. What does that mean? It means that I'm going to have a variety of other things that I'm going to be doing. Niche, I've expressed that before. Yes, they are going to be niche. What are they? I don't know yet. I do know what the first one will be. I'm not prepared to tell you, but I am beginning my step. 1,000 miles, I don't know. I don't know how many miles lay ahead, but I know that I've got to take a step, and I'm fully prepared to take the step. So there's that. I am curious what's going on in your world. You can send feedback to results@BulaNetwork.com if you like email. If you don't like email and you prefer voicemail, frankly, we do too, because this is an audio podcast. 214-736-4406 is the feedback line. 214-736-4406. Yes, it's a Google Voice number, so you can call it all hours of the day and night. Leave me some voicemail. Twitter. Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm not there a whole lot. I'm kind of weaning myself off of Twitter, because, I'm trying to make a journey here. And quite frankly, we just can't pay attention to the journey everybody else is taking if we're trying to take our own. That's what I think. I think there are people that are worth listening to. I think there are people that are worth paying attention to. I think there are people that can inspire us. There are people that can educate us along the way. There are people that can even entertain us along the way. Am I one of those people? I don't know. I don't know. That's for you to decide. There are people like that in my life, and those are the people that I kind of pay attention to, and I'm beginning to shut out the other noise because, I've pictured this highway in Banff, and that's, for me, that's the metaphor for the journey that I'm taking. Way up ahead, there's this mountain peak, and man, it looks pretty terrific. And as great as the view is right here in the middle of this two-lane highway in Banff, something tells me if I could get up to that peak, way up there, something tells me that's a remarkable view. That's a remarkable view where I'm at, but I don't want to stay here. Because between here and there, man, there's all this forest, there's hills, there's valleys. Between here and that mountain peak, I suspect there's quite an awful lot to see. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty anxious to see that. I don't know what it is, and that's why I want to make the journey. But I got to start. And then I got to keep going and keep going and keep going. There's little doubt that between here and that mountain peak, I'm going to encounter some difficulties. And I'm going to encounter some challenges. From the looks of these woods, I might even encounter a bear or two or something worse. And you will too. Brace yourself and just keep going. So think big, but act small. Take action. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. We're coming to you from Dallas, Texas. This is the Yellow Studio.